to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, this is the Automatically Deleted Husband. Automatically deleted again. What a shock. First, I'm sure the most important, the most vital thing you're wondering about the Big Frog Hike, aren't you? Really, be honest. You're wondering about the Big Frog Hike. We were loosely thinking, you know, we had penciled in this coming Friday, and the pencil is getting kind of fading. So there may be some adjustment, but it still may occur, perhaps even this weekend. Weather's going to be cold, but apparently okay. However, it looks like there'll be some issues because, you know, Chris Prince and I were planning on going, and we have now included Chris Petrillo, but he's going to be out of town. So we might do it twice this year, twice more this year, not just the one time, because there are several routes up. And one of the routes that, because we did what was called a Hemp Top Trail on the last part, because we went a different route. You know, it's 11 and a half miles up the first way we went. The second time we went, it was over 10 miles to get up because we went a longer route. And the last part of it was on for about a mile or two, I think it was maybe a mile or two of a difficult trail, Hemp Top. And but that trail is shorter. But one of the things we're pondering doing it is there's another place we could park and do Hemp Top alone. So we still get the 2,000 plus foot rise, but instead of in 5 to 10 miles, it happens in like 3. So you know, these things are being discussed. And again, the door is open for others to join us, like Chris Petrillo or George. I think he's been invited already. He'd consider him invited again. Speaking of George, since we're on that, we're about at the 2-year anniversary also of George's email to me. And, you know, I continue to think about this because I've heard, yeah, he knows of it. But no, I'm sorry. The source of that information that says he knows of it or it's available to him is not credible. And I hate saying that. But my wife's not credible. She doesn't live a commitment. And she doesn't communicate well. This is abundant. She's like her dad. And you'll notice I'm trying to communicate well. You may not like what I'm saying, but at least I'm saying it. Unlike those who simply hide, run, scared, and show no love. But so I am continuing to pursue this reconciliation thing. And that's why when George emailed me, and like I say, I think it was a mistake that you sent it out, because obviously now I know, because there's bunches of videos and bunches of emails in response, and then total silence. So I have to make more of an issue of this. And obviously, you know, I even sent the postcards. A lot of them of late have been to him. I also did send an email today. And copied several people. There were individual emails, again, to North Hills, because obviously the email that I sent last week was not responded to. You know, what a shocker. Unfortunately, it seems that, I don't know, is it policy within a Christian institution? Don't take on, don't respond, don't take on a challenge, pardon the four-letter word, don't love. I think that must be policy in Christian institutions. That's what it seems like, you know, because obviously Metafew does that. Covenant Presbyterian does that. My extended family does that. But anyway, so, okay, you know about Big Frog, you know about my effort with George, and of course the email North Hills. But let me talk about something else, because I continue, you know, it's been, you know, as I study the scripture, one of the things I am so profoundly influenced by is the consistency of the message from Genesis to Revelation. It just blows me away when you look at the wording, the themes, and whatnot. It's a consistent message. You know, this dispensational idea, oh, the Lord tried this, didn't work. He tried that, didn't work. I'm going to try something else. Or, you know, I'm sorry. The technical term for that is stupid. No, there's a consistent message, and it's remarkable to see. But seeing that, I also look at other things in the world and see, in a sense, a similar degree of consistency, but it's a consistency. You know, I've wondered about this because, you know, there is a whole lot of stuff around. You hear things like the terms chaos theories and things of that nature. Study of what happens when a whole bunch of random events occur, whether it's, you know, completely random or pseudo-random, in a sense of what happens when a large amount of animals or whatnot who are in a particular environment that are not regulated, you know, they don't have a leader per se, but whatever event occurs, they move in unison. It's like watching birds, you know, because I find the joy in spring and fall too, because I think it's because I'm on the edge of a little mountain range. They seem to always come not over there, but directly overhead. And I see him, you know, heading south and heading north. It's amazing to see, and to watch how, you know, they form that V shape. And as they're flying, you'll see that change, that shape change. But in general, it has that V shape. And from what I understand, suggestion is that because the bird at the front is actually doing more work, and the others are kind of following, that they constantly shift. So they basically share the load. You know, various things. I don't know of anybody who's actually asked one to find out, you know, because that's kind of hard to do. But anyway, the whole point is to see what seems to be, in a sense, random. Because how do these birds get together? It wasn't, oh, hey, our family's going and let's go. I mean, you can watch how one will break off in one group and go to another. It's just, it really is amazing. And I think a lot of this goes to, again, you can study chaos theory. It's fascinating. But apply that to people and events of the world. You know, because one of the things I've wondered about is so often it's the idea of a massive conspiracy, or it's the leader at the top who's doing all this foul stuff. I mean, it's easy to think that, but I would suggest, because of my observation, when you see collectives, and of course the layered collectives, there's that self-interest, and self-interest will drive various people within a sub-collective to do things collectively with a certain purpose, and it's not necessarily led or fully coordinated, but it will happen kind of naturally. It is the chaos theory. There is, I mean, this is clear, that there is assistance in this by somebody at a higher level influencing someone at the lower level. That's true. But it's not controlling every part of it. And when you get the multi-level thing, you know, whether we talk about, countrywide or worldwide kind of thing, the idea of saying, I have this kind of, there is the ultimate fellow sitting at the throne and controlling the world. I don't think so, because I think this idea of chaos theory and what happens with multiple levels and the various groups. It's kind of like all the birds are flocking together, going in a similar direction. At the same time, there is clearly the idea of Satan, but when I study Genesis, again, Genesis is really an amazing book. But because I've had several dialogues, and it's delightful, on the question of when Satan spoke with Eve, and especially the line, "You will be like God, knowing good from evil. And my contention is that statement is true. But it's being deceived with the truth. So it's yes, we now have an understanding of, oh, I'm going to put a fig leaf on because I'm naked. And I didn't know beforehand there was an issue here. Now I do. I am like God, knowing good from evil. I mean, I would suggest that was what happened. So what Satan said is true. But obviously there's more to the story, isn't there? And so we could be manipulated with true information. At the same time, we can be deceived with true information, or deceived with information that has a hint of truth, but the foundation is a fallacy. So what I saw 2 days ago, whatever it was, again, being a little strange, I tend to watch some of the videos from Al Jazeera because it's a very known entity, in the sense that these people have an agenda. They're well-financed. You know, Qatar is a rather wealthy country, and the city of Doha is kind of like, you know, wow, you know, out in the middle of the desert. But, I mean, extreme wealth. And that's where Al Jazeera is based out of. They're funded by the state, by the royal family. So they produce a particular agenda, and they become a very powerful group of people. Obviously, they're extremely involved with the events around Afghanistan, because again, the final negotiations that occurred between the U.S. and the Afghans, the Taliban, occurred in Doha. And who was the one and only news agency in the palace when the Taliban took over? It was Al Jazeera. So they are becoming a really strong player worldwide, in the sense of as a news organization. But again, a whole lot of what they do is remarkably deceptive. And then with a lot of others. But I watched a particular 3-minute, 5-minute report called Climate Denialism: Can We Stop It? Because they have a series called Plan It Green. Not Planet, but Plan It Green. And the guy that runs it, the most dangerous person is someone, I think, who actually believes in his fallacy. And the guy who's the spokesman for this series, he was also present at the COP26 events. And I've listened to some of the things he said, and it's kind of like, this guy's deceived. This guy's really deceived. But I watched this one in particular because the idea of climate denialism. In other words, what they're trying to say is that anyone who denies, the wording is really, you know, done well. Denying climate change makes you somehow a bad person, foolish or stupid. And see, that's a well-marketed concept, because the issue is, yes, climate change occurs, but it's anthropomorphic climate change, or anthropomorphic global warming previously, or if you go back about 4 decades, it was anthropomorphic global cooling, because we were concerned about a coming ice age back in the 70s. Now, in the 90s, it was the coming heat wave. Now it's climate change because the data didn't hold out right. So we made it generic, calling it climate change. So this way, if, you know, when the evidence shows, oh, the planet's cooling, we better do something because the planet is cooling, we have the term in place. But again, the idea says anthropomorphic or man-made climate change. And that's the gotcha, because that's foolishness. Because it's clear to see, if you look at the evidence, 99% plus of the climate change that's occurring happens because of the sun. Again, that's that round ball that you see in the daytime that's really bright, and you don't see it at night. That's the cause of climate change. But if you can say man does it. And then you can exaggerate the effects. And again, they're exaggerated. I won't go into that. But there's so much of that. You can see how it's exaggerated. What this does is we need to work as a collective, a worldwide collective. And we need to centralize control in order to make sure that the bad players don't destroy our planet. This is the whole objective. I mean, this is abundantly clear if you have your eyes open. If you, and I don't mean woke, that's, no. If you look at the evidence. But what we do is say climate denialism. So now it's kind of like saying you're a Nazi. You don't need any evidence or whatnot, or you're a racist. Nazis is not as strong, but a racist is I mean, you know, it's, okay, just real quick, because just before I made the call, I saw a, this is an op-ed from Babylon Bee. If the people Rittenhouse shot were white, I bet he would have been convicted. Obviously, this is a satire site, if you don't understand, and the whole headline is satire. Because obviously, all the people that were shot were white. And, you know, because he's being called a racist. It's deception. It's deception. The whole objective is you use an event in order to get an objective, your political objective, done. I mean, that's all that's happening there. But again, what you see and what concerns me is, and there's a whole lot of people who discuss this and talk about various things. You know, I pointed out that it was studied about 100 years ago. How do you change the world to move them in a particular direction? This was studied, you will read this from, what's his name, who did that report of years ago? Oh, gee. Him. But he pointed this out very, very clearly, because anyway. The study was done by whatever think tank it was. And it's the best thing to use to change society's direction is war. And so 100 years ago, that was definitely true. But again, as I pointed out, the issue was war then had a limited effect in the sense that, yeah, millions of people die, but it didn't destroy everything. Whereas when we got to the idea of the mutually assured destruction of nuclear war, things changed. So it's kind of like, maybe we don't want World War III. You know, the statement made by, well, it's been echoed by many. I don't know who originated it. The idea of you know, World War III will be fought with nuclear weapons. World War IV will be fought with sticks and clubs, because everything will be gone. But so, you know, with that understanding, you say, okay, we've progressed this 100 years, and maybe we need to find other things besides war to influence the world. And so there are several things that have been percolating for years. One is, obviously, where we see the climate denialism. We have to protect our planet because we only have the one planet. The second thing, which has been discussed many times, is the idea of an alien life form, which again, as I point out, it's stupid, simply because the odds of life on this planet is basically zero. I've been through that before. You know, because God's involved here, but you know, don't let anybody know. And of course, the other thing that we see happening is the idea of a pandemic. Because if it's a pandemic that affects the world, well, we have to collectively work together. And so whenever you have to work together, whether it's because of climate change, whether it's because of aliens, or whether it's because of a worldwide pandemic, you need to centralize authority. And so that's why you fabricate things like climate change and exploit to the max. And then when you get the believers, you promote them, big time. You know, it's as it's often stated, if you are a scientist, and you want to, get funding for a particular project, what you do supports a particular narrative, you can find funding. If you want to find the truth, no, you won't find funding. Same thing is true with the major media. You want to support a particular message? You know, that's why the one voicemail I did, well, I ended up with that little clip of brought to you by Pfizer. Because if you were a company or a news agency that was pointing out the fallacies with vaccines and things of that nature, do you think Pfizer would be sponsoring your program? And when they are the major sponsor of your company, and that's where your paycheck comes from, are you going to point out the fallacy of what they do? Really? So, I mean, you have those things happening. And, you know, it concerns me, because what does it take to say, no, I'm not going to go follow the... I am being willing to take the label of a climate denialist, because I look at the evidence to see the problem is not man, but the sun. And this is naturally occurring. You know, it's interesting. People will talk about, oh, look at all the forest fires. Or look at the change in sea levels and things of that nature, or ice and whatnot. Oh, the devastation. And it's all because of people driving their SUVs. The reality is, apparently, if you look at some of the long-term studies, the amount of massive forest fires and whatnot has actually gone down. When you see things like the hurricanes and whatnot, it's the normal, was it, 5-year cycle or whatnot that occurs. It's been the same for years. And I really wonder why, you know, the La Palma, the island that's just northwest of Africa, Spanish island. It's a volcanic island, and the volcano has been going, has been dormant for like 40 years and whatnot. Now it's been going for 5-6 weeks or whatever, just continuous and just covering that place. And I wonder how much, don't know why that doesn't seem to be more of a, oh, there's a problem here. But, you know, a good thing is pointed out is we say, oh, what a tragedy. But why does that island exist? Well, because it's a volcano. And, you know, I mean, and if you build your house on a volcano, you know, it's fascinating. But I don't know why that, because obviously that's man-made, right? You know, and again, you look at when Mount St. Helens went off, the amount of stuff that was thrown in the atmosphere, when you compared it against with the amount of stuff in pollution that man does, I mean, in those few moments, it was like years of what man does. Now, what man does is stupid, you know, especially because of the fact it's localized in cities and whatnot. And like, you know, because I remember when I was at March Air Force Base in California, and one day driving into Los Angeles, because it's called the Los Angeles Basin, because it really is kind of a bowl. The Pacific Ocean is there, and then there's kind of, it's kind of this bowl shape, and the mountains kind of wrap it around, and they both ends. So the stuff that the air that's coming off the Pacific kind of gets stuck there. Obviously, it eventually goes over the mountains, but some of it. And what happens is, when the smog, which is heavier, accumulates there and doesn't go over the mountain. So as I drove in one day, I saw it. You know, you can see I'm out away, and then in the distance, you see as we're approaching Los Angeles, there's this gray cloud, like a fog, that covered all of Los Angeles. And it's kind of like, I'm driving into that. Why would I want to be so stupid? And you see, of course, in New Delhi in India. Serious problems, you know, same kind of things. But I mean, and it's, this is true in a lot of major cities. So yes, man does that. But if you look at it at a global scale, it's token. Again, Mount St. Helens put up so much stuff. And what happened? We had a period of cooling because of that. We really did. I mean, you can check the records. We had for however long. And of course, that stuff eventually, most of it came down. I don't know how many months it took, but anyway. But so, you know, the whole point is I'm looking at the way this stuff is twisted in order to gain power. And there's the idea of buying the spokesman. Again, that's how you buy, that's how you buy the scientists. You can't buy science, so you buy scientists. And anyone who doesn't agree with the scientists, because again, this climate denialism, can we stop it? Video, he made the statement, 99.9% of scientists agree. And I would suggest that number is a number that was, well, let me pull it out of the air. Because, for example, if you go to the medical community and say, how much of the medical community really supports the idea of the COVID-19 and it's killing people? It's not as high as you would think. I mean, when you have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of medical professionals signing documents saying, you know, was it the Rome Declaration and the thing in Canada, the Barrington Declaration and so forth, saying, no, this is wrong. And the number of, you know, again, people in the medical community, in, you know, police, military, and all sorts of other larger industries are saying, you want me to take a vaccine? No, I quit. I won't do it. And you look, for example, and I don't know how much U.S. news media is covering, but there are massive protests right now in Australia, Germany, in Italy, in Greece, huge. And we're not talking about 3,000 or 4,000. We're talking 100,000 plus gatherings. I mean, massive gatherings. And it's happening in Australia too, which is one of the hardest lockdown countries on the planet right now. I mean, they are ridiculous. They are throwing people in jail for being near somebody that they claim tested positive. I mean, Australia years ago was called a prison colony because literally the England sent prisoners there. And it's becoming, people say it's becoming a prison colony again with the people who were born there. So much for short videos. All these things I see happening, and you see how there's that submission. There's so many ways. But again, the event I talked about from last Friday, the Kyle Rittenhouse event. Why did that occur in the first place, the actual event of about a year ago, where he did indeed shoot three people, kill two? And, you know, again, the video is obvious, self-defense. You know, he was armed. It was not a weapon brought over state lines. That's a fallacy, but it's, you know, it just makes you blood boil, doesn't it? There's a whole bunch of fallacies in what is portrayed by the media to make him look bad. What's rarely talked about is, why was he there? To protect his family's business. I think it was his dad's business or whatever. And the neighbors there. And he was there with his medical kit to give aid. And then, of course, he became, in a sense, the victim of the circumstances. But why was he doing that? Because the police, the institutions, stood down. You've seen this for, what, it's been going on for maybe year and a half, 2 years, whatever, where a whole bunch of places, the police stood down. You say, okay, you know, there were the events during a lot of the Black Lives Matter protests where bricks, pallets of bricks, were literally brought and provided to it to an area. It's kind of like, where did they come from? So people could grab the bricks and use it to throw at windows and whatnot. It was provoked. It was set up. I mean, the evidence for this is overwhelming. So the same thing happened here. And a whole lot of people said, we don't want to lose our community. So a whole lot of people said, let's do what we can to protect our community, because we see what's happened, you know, in Seattle and Oregon, I think, and other places where the riots just destroyed the city, destroyed people's homes and businesses. Their livelihoods were just destroyed by rioters, and the protection of the police simply was not there. They withdrew. Same thing happened here. And Kyle Rittenhouse successfully protected some businesses, and he's persecuted for it because he protected himself and ended up killing some people. Killing some people who were attempting to kill him. And again, these people were people with rather unfriendly history, shall we put it that way. And I've thought about that. Again, two things. One is his reaction when he heard the not guilty. And I've stated earlier my reaction. If I heard that I can talk with George and meet him and hike Big Frog Mountain with him, I'd have that kind of reaction. And even more so if I were to actually reconcile with my wife. That would be an event. But that's the one part of it. But there's the other part of it. The institution that we feel is there, we have the sense that we need our government because we want our government to protect us. And what happened? They didn't. They didn't in, was it Kenosha? They didn't in Seattle. They didn't in, was it Portland, Oregon? Somewhere else. Anyway, there's been numerous. They're definitely not in San Francisco. You know, it's kind of meh. So we put our trust in this institution to protect us, and then they don't protect us. And I thought, is there an analogy to this? Why, yes, there is. It's called the institutional church. It's identical. Because we have this idea that the institutional church is there to protect us, to be our shield against the world and the ways of the world. And this is where we gather together and encourage one another to be strong and stand against what's happening in the world. And we work together as cowards. That's the reality. Work together as cowards. Because, again, as I pointed out, the state-decreed or state-sanctioned churches during the Third Reich just simply followed in line. Well, the government says this, the government says that. Romans 13, we need to submit. Twist the scripture and act like a coward. And then there's the confessing church. Where's the confessing church today? Is it a institution? No. It's a bunch of individuals who say, no, my Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. I will follow him and him alone. I know several who are part of that. And I'm one of them. My trust is not in the state. My trust is not in the institutional church. My trust is in the Lord. And I'm not going to turn to the state to protect me. And you people will say, oh, but what happens if this happens or that happens? You know, but I look at what the scripture says. We're not to trust in the state. We trust in the state. We'll be crushed by the state. Look at history. happens over and over again. You know, it's in Deuteronomy or Leviticus, when you're called to go to the celebration, and the Lord said, be obedient to me, and I'll protect your home. Do you think he stopped that? You say, well, that was then, this is now. I'm not going to protect you now. You need an institution to do it for you. No, it's the same Lord. It's the Lord I trust. Is it the Lord you trust? I mean, it's a serious question. Is it the Lord you trust? And you can see it another way. Health. You know, because of the COVID stuff and whatnot, I've done a lot of study on various things, you know, and I found out years ago, you know, the polio vaccine, that's fraud, simply because they took credit for a naturally declining. It was going down the rate, and they said, oh, look, we take credit out for the vaccine. And from what I understand, too, that the Spanish flu stuff is just simply a name. There's a lot of issues on that. Again, I'm not that skilled on that, but apparently, some of the things I am aware of, very clearly, you know, again, it apparently remains true. Third leading cause of death, properly prescribed medical care. And I've pointed out many times before, it's not the medical community that gives you longevity. It's nutrition and sanitation mostly. And of course, exercise. But nutrition and sanitation. The guy who picks up your trash, and even more, the one who takes that sewer out of, you know, the septic out of your house, does more for your longevity. And of course, the farmer does more for your longevity than all of the medical community combined. The only value of the medical community is, I've had an accident, I broke an arm, something of that nature. They can be helpful. But what do? Effectively stop the bleeding. The idea of correcting something, no, the body does it. God's creation does it. Man does not fix a body. The Lord fixes the body. And all man does is can protect the body while the Lord fixes it. It's not the medical community that gives you longevity, and there's apparently very good evidence that if you withdrew the medical community, longevity goes up. And of course, obviously you can see this if you look around the world and look at places around the world and with different sets of medical, you know, U.S. obviously has a whole bunch, so does Europe and so forth. Look at places that don't have it and have the same life expectancy or longer if they have nutrition and sanitation. It's you know, again, so many of the plagues, the Black Plague in Europe and so forth, the numerous plagues in London. I find it fascinating. Some of the plagues in London, the problem was the river that goes right through London is where the sewage is, and it was building up and causing disease. And so a whole lot of effort was made in getting the sewage to flow out down the river, because otherwise people in the city were dying big time. Check the history on this. It's kind of like the guys who do the sewer do a whole lot more for you, for your health and well-being, and to make it smell nice, than the medical community. Okay, so that the point is, when you look at the government to protect you, they won't. It is like the scientists to tell you the truth. They won't. It's what does their paycheck tell you? And like I said, government is literally corrupt. And what happens if you say, no, I don't want someone to come and destroy my home, my business or whatnot. I will defend it, or I will work with my community to defend it. You know, I think it says, again, his dad's business or whatever, in the case of Rittenhouse. Same way, turning to the institutional church, they're not going to defend you. If you're part of the collective, they will defend the collective, those in obedience to Christ, into the collective. You strive to be obedient to Christ, they will abandon you. They will abandon you. You want evidence? Look at my face. I'm the evidence. And of course, you see this throughout history. You see this, obviously, in the scripture. Or, there was this young girl, I think it was 2007, did a video and said things like, if you speak the truth of Christ, he is right there with you. Who was that girl? Oh, that's right, that was my daughter, Erica Lee, the Keeping the Promise video. Yeah, you will be abandoned. You'll be ridiculed. You'll be ignored by most. But Jesus Christ is who he claims to be. I'm willing to back that up with my life. Are you? Or, no, I'm going to say, I'm going to trust in my institution. And when the institution denies you, you say, okay, I don't want that to happen, so I'll yield to the institution. We're going to compromise in this issue or that issue or whatnot. I'll yield to my institution. So let me give you the verse. To end this on a positive note, I'll give you the verse that I have used so often. And I'll start with Revelation 21:7. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. I think that's important because the idea that have the who conquers, it's also the idea of the endurance. Those who endure to the end will be saved, and the idea of conquer. Well, I mean, again, check the definition of the word Israel, which, as I point out, is the individual Jacob. It is his descendants. It's the northern kingdom, and it's the elect. Depending upon the context where it's used. And so that's why you would see the conquerors have this heritage, because it's the one who overcomes Israel, or or the prince. What is the prince? The son of the king. I will be his God, and he will be my son. It's talking about the elect, or Israel. And I'm not talking about Jews. I'm talking about Israel. Some of them are Jews. But then, of course, there's the next verse. But as for the cowardly and the faithless and the lesser crimes, the detestable and for murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, adulterers, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. And I would suggest, indeed, the detestable, murderers, sexually immoral, those are the lesser crimes. Cowardly and faithless, that's where you're in deep doo-doo. That's where you're in serious deep doo-doo. Or maybe a dare I say, a lake of fire. Again, that's what I just happen to read that somewhere. It's a problem. It's a severe problem. And I want to get this across, especially to my kids. Be verse 7, not verse 8. The one who conquers will have this heritage. I will be his God, and he will be my son. The definition of the elect, the definition of Israel, the definition of the Lord's grace to his elect, for my kids especially, and of course my wife, because I love her. This is my hope and prayer for my family. But as for the cowardly and the faithless, I want my stuff. I want to be comfortable. I don't want to be embarrassed. I want to be with my friends. I want a cell phone with a really big display. Or do you want to be obedient to Christ? It's a tough question. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Again, that's not some. That's not if you happen to be a particular kind of person. All. The word is polis. All. There's a cost. Again, grace is a free gift to his elect. We don't have to pay for his grace. But how does he show his grace? You know, he scourges us, as we see in Hebrews. He leaves us with tribulation. We do not have to pay for our sins, but in this world we will have tribulation. And a peace that surpasses all understanding. I want that for my kids. I want that for my family. I want that for my wife. I want them to be the ones. The one who conquers will have this heritage. I will be his God, and he will be my son. The LSV. The one who is overcoming will inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Again, the root of those words is Israel, the elect. I want this for my family, especially for my wife, because I know this is going to come as a shock. I love my wife, Dorothy Jane, my lady. I really love you.